Acts chapter 28, I'm going to read a little bit more scripture than I traditionally do, only because I got a big foundation to get the plane off the ground and see what God will do. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Somebody say escaped. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. Notice this. And when the Apostle Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper, there came a snake out of the fire, out of the heat, and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous or the poisonous beast, the poisonous snake, notice this, hang on his hand. The snake was poisonous and hung on the hand of the Apostle Paul. The barbarians said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. But notice what the man of God did. And Paul, the man of God, shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. He shook off the snake into the fire. Somebody say, you got to shake it off. Tell your neighbor, you got to shake it off. Shake it off. Come on, don't be afraid. Tell them in the loud. Tell your neighbor, you got to shake it off. There we go. Hey, don't let the 9 o'clock have more energy than 11 o'clock. Come on, somebody. Just reading briefly a portion from Luke chapter 10 and 19, and it says, and over all the power of the enemy. And over all the power of the enemy. I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. Shake it off. Shake it off. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Come on. With the voice of unity. The loud voice. Una voice más alto. Come on. Ha! Let's lift our voices to Jesus. Let's pray that God would help us be a hearer and a doer of the word. Come on. Come on, RT. Help Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your voices. Come on. Where are the prayer leaders at? Where are the intercessors at? Where are the worshipers at? People that know how to pray, that will pray. God, help me, Lord. Help me, God, to be a hearer, a doer of your word, God. Help me this morning. Help the word to fall on good ground. My heart is good ground. It's not stony, God. It's ready, God. It doesn't have weeds today, God. It's ready. It's open. My heart is open to your word this morning. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now when we read in our scripture text this morning, we are looking at the word escape. And the word escape means to slip or get away, as from restraint or confinement. Escape means to slip away from peril or pursuit. It means to avoid capture. It means to avoid evil. Escape means to succeed in avoiding. Now the apostle Paul had a traveling companion, which was Luke, and Luke is the compiler or the writer of this scripture, of this chapter. Luke was a Christian, an early disciple. He traveled with Paul in at least 3 missionary journeys. And he is the writer of the book of Acts. He's the compiler. He was also a physician. In fact, he was loyal and committed. And Paul would write and tell us in Colossians 4 and 14, he says in the scripture, he says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And so Paul obviously would preach, he would teach, he would minister to the needs of wherever it was he was at, and the Apostle Paul would use his gift of that the Lord blessed him with, of a physician, to treat those that needed to be treated. And so we have this team that would go, and so we see that throughout the book of Acts, it's 28 chapters in particular, and the book of Acts tells us and explains to us the ministry of the disciples, the early church, and the apostles. And we see much take place throughout these 28 chapters, and it's the Acts of the Apostles. And so we see that the first 12 chapters, for the most part, there's one character in particular that you see throughout as a common denominator in the first 12 chapters, and that's the Apostle Peter. We see, obviously, the prayer meeting in Acts chapter 1 take place, where the Lord instructs them to tarry ye in Jerusalem. And so there was about 120 that stayed in Jerusalem, and then they went to an upper room. And there in Acts chapter 2, we understand that because of unity and because of prayer, imagine that, people get together and pray, and the Lord does things. And we see that it was ultimately the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, or as we would understand, it was Pentecost, but we would understand that at Pentecost that the Lord poured out the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, and the Apostle Peter preaches what we would declare today the Acts 2:38 message, and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I just want to pause right there and remind us all and instruct us that was a question was asked and the answer was given. What must we do? And so I just want to remind anybody that is listening or watching that it's still repentance, it's still baptism in Jesus' name, and it's still the infilling of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And I the best part about Acts 2:38 is Acts 2:39 that comes together with it, because it would have been easy for the Apostle Peter or for the Lord to say, well, it kind of stops with this group of people, but it doesn't. Notice Acts 2:39 says, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Anybody thankful today that it didn't stop at Pentecost? And so we fast forward to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, and we see that the Apostle Peter is going to the temple at the hour of prayer. Imagine that. The preachers pray. Praise God. If the preachers pray, the people ought to pray, right? Man, if the preacher's not praying, he's plain. And if the people aren't praying, they're strained, right? Yeah. I'm a poet and I didn't know it, right? You didn't know that. But the Apostle Peter and his prayer partner, they're going to the temple at the hour of prayer to pray. And there they encounter a man, and so the apostle, that it was lame from his mother's womb, and the scripture tells us that he was at least 40 years of age. We see this because Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4 is one story. It goes together. And in Acts 4 and 22, we see that the man was above 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing was showed. And so the Apostle Peter, he grabs this man by the right hand, and the scripture tells us that under the authority of the power of the name of Jesus, he declares in Acts 3 and 6, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Acts 3 and 7 tells us, and immediately this man's feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and went with them into the temple, praising God. And notice this, and all the people saw him walking and praising the Lord. Anybody thankful today for the miraculous power of the Lord? And so we see throughout the book of Acts, we see miracles and testimonies as Luke writes the Acts of the Apostles, and we read the same about the apostle Peter, that the Lord used the Apostle Peter in a mighty way. He was anointed by the Lord for his time. The Lord used him for his time, but there would even be a time in the Apostle Peter's ministry that in Acts 5 and 15 we see that even the very shadow of the Apostle Peter, some would be healed, that they would bring forth the sick in the streets, and they laid them out on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter, the Apostle Peter, by might overshadow some of them. Notice it says in verse 16, so they came also a multitude out of the cities, and they brought people that were not only sick physically, but they were sick emotionally. They were possessed, the scripture says, and they were healed, every single one of them. And the book of Acts is our spiritual heritage. It is our DNA of our relationship with the Lord. It is the sole authoritative prototype here, Pastor, for the church in any period of history. The Word of God has gone through anything and everything that we have read and we know about in history. And it's never lost its power. It's still true. I know it's cliche, but it's been through the flood. It's been through the fire. It's been through the sands of the Middle East. It's been through the storms of realities of life. It's been on the mountaintop. It's been in the valley. It's been through pandemics. It's been through wars. And the Word of God is still the Word of God. It is still the roadmap for life and for revival. And it's where we get our instruction for living here on earth and getting to heaven. And it reveals to us some things. One thing that it reveals to us is in Acts 2 and 44 that the believers were together. They had all things common. The church was united back then, and the church needs to be united now. There should be no divisions. Well, here we go. The church is not just a church building in which we've gathered. We know about that, where we come and hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word. But you are the church. Somebody say, I am the church. And we are to be a witness. You are a witness. Whether you're at a Friday ladies gathering, whether it's a Brother Hutron on Facebook devotion, whether it's the children today upstairs, whether what's going to take place later this week and this month with other ministries, it's all about a witness. And that's why when you gather with people together, whether it's around a dinner table, whether it's around the altar, whether it's in a sanctuary worshiping the Lord, whether it's on a Zoom prayer, things begin to happen because of the unity of the Spirit. That's why we understand, and we've got a revelation that we can trace our doctrine. We can trace our belief, the apostolic Pentecostal belief. We can trace it. We can trace it right to the book of Acts. The message has never changed. And the scripture tells us in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in the other name, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Somebody say, I must be saved. We're not just Pentecostal in experience, although Pentecostal experience is a wonderful experience, but we are also apostolic in our doctrine. Our doctrine is not a man-made doctrine. It wasn't just a council of people that got together and say, this is what we're going to believe. Everything that we've experienced today with worship, with giving, with praise, with preaching, it's in the book. It's in the Word of God. You know what else is in the Word of God? Is what the Apostle Peter tells us in his epistle in 1 Peter 1 and 15. He tells us, but as he which has called you is holy, so be holy in some of your conversation. All manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am a holy God. We read a holy Bible. He fills us with the Holy Ghost. He is holy. So we ought to strive to be more holy every single day. The world and sin and the devices and the lust for other things are going to tempt us. They're going to try to derail your engagement with the church and with the people of God. They're going to try to distract you from a commitment of a lifestyle of holiness. But I come to declare this morning to this amazing, wonderful church that we will strive and continue to be a city on a hill and the light of the world. And we're not going to love just in word, but we're going to love in deed. And we're not just going to talk about being Spirit-filled, but we're going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to live in the Spirit. And we're going to do just like the scripture says in 1 Peter 2 and 9, we are going to be a holy people. We will show forth the praises of Him. that brought us out of darkness. Notice this. Notice this. Here, Pastor. Somebody say, here, Pastor. That was no bueno. Somebody say, here, Pastor. There we go. Notice this. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of the government, which had not... Oh, that's what it says. All right. Which in times were not of people, but are now the people of fear, which... Oh, people of God. You and I are the people of God. That's who you are. You're the people of God. Somebody get a revelation of that. You're not the people of this world. You're not a people of fear, of worry, of stress. You're not the people of sin. You're not the people of the devil. You are the people of God. You and I are the people of... You are His daughter. You are His son. You're not a grandchild. You're not a stepson. You are children of the Most High God. He loves you. You are His son and His daughter. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Somebody say, hey, pilgrim. And abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. I'm building a foundation this morning. This message that we've received in our scripture setting doesn't even come to us till the latter part of the book of Acts. It's the last chapter. The man that we read about in our scripture text is not even... He's not even around in the first couple chapters. We don't even see the Apostle Paul until around Acts chapter 8. And then we see in Acts 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, his conversion, his spiritual transformation. And we see that he was, the baton was passed from the Jewish apostle of Peter to the Gentile preacher of the gospel. He was a Roman citizen, but he preached unto those that were afar off. He preached just like Acts 1 and 8 declares, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And notice this, and ye shall be witnesses. You see, I want to see by a show of hands, if you've ever been a witness to anything, good or bad in your life, it doesn't matter, right? Well, here's the deal. We are, if you've received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, you are to be a witness. And the Apostle Paul received the Holy Ghost, and he became a witness. And he talks about Jerusalem, that area where it started, in Judea and Samaria, the uttermost parts. These are regions, these are areas, and the uttermost parts of the earth, what I would testify would be us today in America. I'm thankful for that. And so we get to our scripture setting, and I said, told you that I have a long foundation today, and I got, once the plane gets up, it's going to be like a helicopter. It's going to come down quick. But it's a plane and a helicopter this morning. And so Paul, we come to his, to understand Paul's situation in our scripture text. He is on a boat because he is being he's being arrested. He's got to get to Rome, and they have a long way to go. And so on their way to get to Rome, he's on this boat, on this ship, and on the ship are with him 270 plus other criminals. They were under the supervision of a Roman centurion by the name of Julius. This is in Acts chapter 27. And they encounter Paul and these men. I'm assuming they're wearing their prisoner outfit, and they're all in uniform. And some of you know what I'm talking about. And so they're on the ship, and they encounter a very major storm. In fact, it's so bad that the writer tells us, it gives a name. It's called Euroclydon. They give a name of the storm. Maybe it was a typhoon or a hurricane. And so there's trouble on the storm. And the Apostle Paul has a vision or a dream that is given to him from the Lord. And there stood by him an angel that said, everybody on this ship is not going to perish. They're going to make it if they stay in the ship, Paul tells them later, if you abide in the ship, you'll be saved. And so the scripture goes on to tell us in Acts 27 that things got so bad they couldn't see the stars, they couldn't see the sun. It even goes on to say in a place where all hope was lost, and so they're sailing. This is the Apostle Paul's condition, and this is the story that we're reading up to in our scripture text. Can I just pause here for a moment? Somebody say pause. And remind us that just because you serve the Lord doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. And the Apostle Paul was in the will of God. He was on this boat, but the Lord was with him in the midst of a storm. So that ought to encourage somebody here today that if you're in the midst of the storm, you are the people of God. God will be with you. Come on, somebody. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So they're on this journey, and Paul says everybody's got to stay in the ship. And so the ship ultimately, they're shipwrecked. And some, you read in the scripture in Acts 27, towards the end of that chapter, some of these men obviously didn't know how to swim. So because the scripture alludes to that, and they're holding on to boards, and they're going to shore. And others, obviously, they had been on the ship for a while, so they probably look like what they went through. And can I just pause here for a moment? Some of you may or may not look like what you went through. But who cares? God is with you. And aren't you glad that some of you, like the Apostle Paul and Luke writes in Acts 27 at the last chapter, it says, and they escaped. And then it starts out in Acts 28. And notice Acts 28 and 1. It says, and when they escaped, when they were escaped, they came to the island called Melita. I feel a little preaching in me that some things in life you were meant to escape. I know some of you think you're super spiritual, but hey, there's just some things, Brother Parra, I'm glad, Mr. Coronado, that I look back and I say, thank the Lord I made it. I escaped. I got it out of there just in time. He saved me. I don't know how he did it. Pero Dios es bueno. He got me out. I escaped. I made it. It may be by the hair of my chinny chin chin, or the skin of my teeth, or the redness of my gums, but I made it. Somebody say, I made it. So Paul gets to the island of Melita. Somebody say, he's at Melita. He's at Malta. And we know this today to be Malta. And we actually have a missionary there that's from California. Some of you know this family. In fact, their daughter lives in Santa Maria. And so he's at this place called Malta. And the occupants, or those that live there on this island, they were superstitious people. And we see in the scripture in Acts 28 that the Apostle Paul is gathering in Acts 28 and 2, there's a fire there. In Acts 3, Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. Now, first thing is, somebody started a fire. And Paul was being a good steward of the fire. Everybody take a deep breath. All right. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it's like a fire, right? Amen. Appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Some of you have got to do like the scripture says. His word was in my heart. Yeah. Shut up in my bones like fire, Jeremiah says. Yes. Leviticus chapter 6, the fire of the altar shall never burn out. thing is, some people that you know that know somebody that know somebody, they have been poor stewards of the fire of the Holy Ghost. I know nobody here is that way, right? But you know somebody that knows somebody that's that way. But you've got to understand that you've got to be, well, say, hey, we're online. It would not be a bad idea if you're filled with the Holy Ghost to be a spiritual provoker of revival fire. Be a spiritual, everybody say spiritual, arsonist, right? Make sure that gets in there real loud. Spiritual arson. We need spiritual arsonists. Read my lips. Spiritual arsonists in these last days. We don't need spiritual fire extinguishers to put out the fire. Come on, somebody. There's too many people, too many places, too many churches that they don't have any fire. And the world is on fire. And they're looking for a people that are on fire with the message of hope to change their circumstance. Some people are looking forward to that mansion in heaven. Amen. Right? Amen. But they won't come to the house of God. Oh. I told you I was coming for you today. I told you. But Paul was on this island. He's gathering some wood. Yeah. And a viper, a snake, not a car, a snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on his hand. Now fire exposes things, right? And fire attracts. We're not talking about smoke. We're talking about fire. This is, the church should be on fire and the people should be on fire. Because if we say, I don't need to go down to the church building because I am the church, you're right, then you need to be on fire. And if you're not on fire, then you can't say you're the church. You need to get around some people that are filled with the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and they don't heed to the commotions of this world, because they learn how to shake some things off out of into the fire of the power of God. Amen. So listen. Now I know this is going to stress somebody out, but the devil's not your friend.
No, he's not.
Not your friend. And here's something else. Some people give the devil way too much credit.
Yes, they do.
He gets extra credit for stuff and he doesn't even show up.
Yep.
Right? And so notice this. Just want to slow it down for a moment. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The devil is a serpent. Revelation 12:9 says, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth some of the world. He's going to deceive all the world. There we go. Was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So he's a serpent. If he's a snake, that means he may use people to be snakes, like snake in the ground, slithering around, all subtle. Fooled Eve. Just learn from the book of Genesis, the book of beginning. Hey, if he did it then, he'll do it now, and he'll continue to do it. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's a murderer. He's a liar. Notice 8:44 of John, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in him any truth, because there's no truth in him. I love this part. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Listen, again, this is gonna stress somebody out. But many times, things that go on in our life are not because of the devil. It's because of your poor decisions.
Yep.
You need to come on Wednesday. This Wednesday, I'll be teaching about the wisdom from above.
Yeah.
But life happens.
Yes, it does.
Anybody know that life happens, right? Yeah. I mean, come on. Matthew 5:45 is proof of it. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sent it rain on the just and the unjust. Come on, somebody. So, nobody's making you make some of the decisions that you're making. You've got to shake off some of that mindset. You're lazy because you're lazy. Let's just call it like it is. You got to shake off the grumpiness. It's not because that you're not getting enough sleep. You're staying up all night worrying about stuff and carousing and involved in things you shouldn't be involved in. Go to bed early. Get up. Get in a good routine. Shake off living in the past. You don't live there anymore. Why you keep going back to where you used to be? You don't take up residence there anymore. Shake off the offended mindset. Yeah, offended. We're over every little thing. Well, man, offend yourself out and go someplace away from me, because we don't got time for that. If there were ever a time to get offended, it was back in 1999. If there was ever a time to backslide, it was in the year 2000. But right now, it is too close to the finish line to play games with the Lord. Notice this. Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. You don't need even a closet in your house. No way. Don't even put him in the garage.
No.
Open the garage, get the dude out.
Exactly.
Come on. It's out. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil.
Right.
You can't just have the sword of the Spirit and not have the breastplate of righteousness.
Exactly.
Can't have the helmet of salvation on and your feet not be prepared with the gospel or the preparation of feet. That's not going to work. Somebody say, oh yeah. Okay, I'm going to help somebody here this morning. Apostle Paul, in our scripture text, that was a long foundation, longest foundation that probably in my preaching ever. We get to our scripture text, the meat and potatoes of it, is Acts chapter 28, verse 5. We see, and he shook off the snake into the fire. Verse 4 tells us that the snake, let's go to verse 3. Acts 28:3, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper or a snake out of the heat and fastened on his hand. It attacked his hand. So many times we look at things that happen in the physical, and I would commit to you that there's sometimes, many times, a general spiritual connection. And Apostle Paul was bitten by a snake that was poisonous on his hand, and he shook it off into the fire. He already had been through enough.
Yeah.
Falsely accused.
Yeah.
Gone through a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
Shipwrecked. That's enough. Stranded on the island of Malta. Oh, which, by the way, means a sweet place. Shipwrecked. Lands on a sweet place. Is that the God that we serve? Go through all kinds of stuff in life, and he puts you in a sweet place. I'll tell you how sweet it was that they welcomed these criminals. Yeah. They welcomed them and made a fire and fed them because it was raining. And then Paul is gathering a bundle of sticks together and lays them out in the fire, and a snake comes out because of the heat, because of the fire.
Right.
Told you the fire draws something, some snakes out there, right? So you got to choose sides. You're either this side or you're that side. No, I'm on the Lord's side. So the snake comes out and bites him on the hand, attacks him on the hand, and fastens it on his hand. And everybody saw it. Mm-hmm. You know that the devil will attack what he's about to use? That's so good. I'll amen myself.
Amen.
The reason why some of you have been attacked, because the devil's about to see the God of peace,
right.
Bruce, Satan, under your feet shortly. You've gone through a physical attack. You've gone through emotional attacks. You've gone through spiritual attacks. You've gone through financial attacks. And the devil has attacked you. He's accused you. But just like the Apostle Paul did, he shook it in the fire. And we read a couple verses later where he's using his hands to pray for people that are sick. And they were healed. They were delivered. He stayed there 3 months and a church was started because a man of God shook something off into the fire. I went to God this morning. Somebody would get a revelation and say, you know what? It's starting to make sense now. Everything I've gone through has been an attack because God is about to do something. God is always up to do something. He's just looking for a people that would be available to say, God, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm going to shake off some of these things that I've been going through because it's going to be used for your glory. Somebody give God a praise. Hallelujah. Has there been an attack on your health, attack on your mind, an attack on your emotions, fear and stress and worry and who's right and who can we believe? I'll tell you who you can believe. Romans 3 and 4 said, God forbid, let God be true. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 said, for all the promises of God are in him, yes and amen. He doesn't get elected and then change his mind. No, God says what he says and he does it. He shook off the beast into the fire and he felt no harm. Because the Bible says that the Lord has given us power over all of the enemy. There's the enemy of your mind. He's been attacking your mind. It's because he's trying to get you confused, trying to get you delirious. What do you believe? What do you know? What do you think? I don't know about much, and I don't believe all that I read, but I do believe the book, and it says I got all power over the enemy. So attack my mind. Tell me I'm no good. That means you're lying, because taste and see that the Lord is good, and I am a child of God. He lives in me. And that attack there in that scripture setting. Notice, scripture says, when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said to themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer. He may have escaped the sea. Somebody come get my coat. He may have escaped the sea. Thank you, sir. But vengeance suffereth not to live. You see, people have seen your struggle. Yeah. They've seen your pain. Yeah. They've seen your trial. Yeah. They've seen your sickness. They see your scars. They know your story. But they're about to see the glory of the Lord, because you get a revelation this morning and say, you know what? I've been attacked. Yeah, I was attacked by even somebody that I didn't see. I thought they had my back. I thought they were a Christian. I thought they were the real ones. No, the real one is high and lifted up. Come on, somebody. Notice this. Howbeit they looked at verse 6. When he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, there are some of those wait and see people, right? For 18 months they've been waiting and seeing, and they're further and further away from the Lord, waiting and seeing. But these people wait and saw, and after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. They changed their minds. There's some people are about to change their mind about you and about your testimony and about your relationship with the Lord and about living for God, because they've seen what you've gone through and they see some bumps and bruises and some attacks, but they also see how you've shaken it off and you kept moving forward. I went to church outside. I got sick, so I stayed home for 10 days, but we had church at home. I couldn't come on Friday in person, but I was on Zoom. I couldn't give there to give my offering offering in person, but I mailed it in. I hit send on the internet and I sent in my stewardship. I couldn't pray for you like I wanted to before your surgery, but I got on the phone, baby, and we prayed on the phone in the name of Jesus. We just shook it off. The methods changed, but we're moving forward in Jesus' name, because favor ain't fair, baby. We serve a God that is alive, and he's about to shake some things in this world, but we are his people. The organ, let's just have the organ this morning. Just the organ. Paul, in Acts 28:8, and it came to pass, Paul entered in and prayed, laid his hands on him, and healed him. A man that was a leader of that clan in Malta, Paul laid his hands on him and prayed for him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. They saw the attack.
Yeah.
But through the attack,
yeah,
they saw the man of God,
yeah,
shake it off.
Yeah.
And then they saw the favor of God manifested. And people were healed and saved because somebody shook it off in Jesus' name. I wonder this morning, as we stand, I wonder this morning, that what should have paralyzed or infected you, like the viper should have paralyzed and infected Paul, ends up becoming a platform of favor for you. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor angels, or life, or principalities, or powers,
right,
nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature,
right,
creepy crawlers, shall be able to separate us from the love. That's the God we serve.
Amen.
Ha! Whatever's been attacking you. Ha! Ah, if you shake it off into the fire of the altar,
yeah,
shake it off into the fire of the Holy,
yeah,
Ghost. Shake it off into the revival fire. God will allow it to be a platform to be used for his glory through you. I wonder if we just begin to lift our hands. Some of you are starting to realize that you are victorious even though the sting of death is around you.
Right.
The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:56, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.